Storm on my holy mountain. Let everyone tremble in fear, because the day of the Lord is upon us. It is a day of darkness and gloom, a day of thick clouds and deep blackness. But suddenly, like dawn spreading across the mountains, a great and mighty army appears. Nothing like it has been seen before or will ever be seen again. Fire burns in front of them, and flames follow after them. Ahead of them lies the land, as beautiful as the Garden of Eden. Behind them is nothing but desolation. Not one thing escapes. They look like horses. They charge forward like war horses. Look at them as they leap along the mountaintops. Listen to the noise they make, like the rumbling of chariots, like the roar of fire sweeping across a field of stubble, or like a mighty army moving into battle. Fear grips all the people. Every face grows pale with terror. The attackers march like warriors and scale city walls like soldiers. Straight forward they march, never breaking rank. They never jostle each other. Each moves in exactly the right position. They break through the defenses without missing a step. They swarm over the city and run along its walls. They enter all the houses, climbing like thieves through the windows. The earth quakes as they advance, and the heavens tremble. The sun and moon grow dark, and the stars no longer shine. The Lord is at the head of the column. He leads them with a shout. This is His mighty army, and they follow His orders. Good morning, Patriots. I hope you guys are having a great day. Hey, Tammy, how are you?
Good morning. Great.
Awesome. We are always great. The Lord just sees us through no matter what. Isn't that right, yeah. You guys? I'm so glad to be with you. We are on, I don't even know, study number 18 in End Times and the Thousand Years of Peace Study Guide. I hope you did your homework. This one's going to be pretty easy. I've got some kind of fun surprises for you. We're going to go look at the stars a little bit today. And also, I've got a really cool surprise for you about the Ark of the Covenant. So don't tell your neighbors if you already know. All right, so the surprise. Anyway, this is chapter 15 in the book of Revelation. It's actually chapter 17 in the book. But anyway, so, you know, as we're going through, we want to make sure that you guys could do your homework and really study this for yourself. I hope that this has been a blessing to you. Instead of just listening to me rattle on, that you're actually getting to study it for yourself and write down the answers. If you don't have a study guide, go on Amazon and get it. Maybe Tammy can put a link to that. But yeah, get a study guide and do the homework yourself. If you haven't been with us the whole time, you can catch up, and let me show you where. That's just kind of a cool surprise, too. Here is the new and improved, hopefully, website. We've been making some changes to it, and here it is, freedomforce.live, and not to say that we won't make a few other tweaks, but we're trying to make it super easy for you guys to find everything. So if when you go here, make this a little bit bigger, when you go here and go to the videos playlist, the very first one under videos, you will see all these playlists. And the one that we've been working on right now is the small group end time study, the live one that we're doing together. So you guys can answer me on the chat. And what we're doing is we've got, whatever, just say 18. So we got 17 on there already. So if you've missed some, you can go back and catch up and make sure that you really understand and you're ready. The goal is that you'll be able to explain it to someone else. And I've got some really cool things that I think are as the Lord just keeps revealing more and more. It's like the dawn, as that verse in Joel chapter 2 says, that dawn spreading across the mountains, that it gets brighter and brighter and brighter. And I'm just understanding things more every day. So are you ready, Tammy?
I am.
Okay, I love you so much. You're the best. Tammy's my right arm. All right, so here, don't forget to hit the like button, you guys. Like And share, always share. Just someone this week told me, actually last Saturday told me, she said that a friend of hers was like, you're going to love go to the Millie channel because she talks about the current events in the light of God's word. So keep sharing because some people are really ready to hear the truth. Maybe they're really ready to hear about revelation, the truth about revelation and times. Maybe they really want to know the truth about what's going on. Either way, just share our stuff, our goodies. And so make sure you subscribe and make sure your little bell is rung so that you can get notified when we post. All right, here it is. Are you guys ready? Chapter 18 of the study guide, and it's chapter 15 if you're opening your Bible. Okay, now, so what we're doing right now is I'm going to make it a little bit bigger. So let's go ahead and get started on this. Miss Tammy, is it big enough for you to read?
It is. Do you want me to pray?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm getting all excited. We're always in the spirit of prayer. Thank you. Yes, pray for us.
I'll do quickly. Heavenly Father, we just love you and we praise you. We just thank you that you are who you are yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And we just know that you have every step in complete control. And we just are happy to hand that over to you. We just ask you, still our hearts today, to just help us just soak in all that you have for us to learn. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. And thank you, Lord, for my Tammy. Thank you for my Freedom Force Battalion. Thank you that we have, that you've revealed this to us, Lord. Thank you that you've revealed it to us. So, all right. So go ahead and read God's word right there for us, please.
Okay. Then I saw in heaven another marvelous event of great significance. Seven angels were holding the seven last plagues, which would bring God's wrath to completion.
All right. There you go. Seven angels, holding seven plagues. Read number one for us. Question number one.
Okay, seven angels is another way to say seven messenger stars. Which constellation includes a small constellation of the seven stars?
What could that be? Maybe the one that's on the picture right there.
Florence?
Maybe. So cool. Seven angels. Have you guys heard about the seven sisters, the seven stars? So it's the answer, of course, is Taurus. Right there. And people said, oh, it's on the shoulder. No, it's not on the shoulder. It's in his heart. It's in the heart of Taurus. Of course, our Lord Jesus is Taurus the bull coming on a rampage to destroy these evildoers. They have done and done and done so much evil, and he's angry with them for what they've done to humanity. And he's coming on a rampage. And actually, it's not in this picture, but you can actually see the legs right there. Actually, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to open right now Stellarium. Look at there. Voila! I have it open for you guys. There is Stellarium right there. And Stellarium, you can go on and download the online planetarium. It's just absolutely cool, cool, cool. All right, so here is, just above Taurus, though, is Auriga, and he's holding a little goat. Actually, it looks like he's holding three goats. But anyway, and if you haven't learned about this, go to the playlist I was showing you before. You will see the biblical astronomy. And the one that I go into a pretty good detail is called the Heavenly Storybook. This is all what God has put in the heavens for us. He says in his word, Psalm 19, he says, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament displays his handiwork. Day after day, they're declaring knowledge. They just are speaking to us, but we haven't known how to decode it. Well, we just had a blood moon. Many of you were on the channel and you were watching the blood moon that happened just this Friday. So the Lord has revealed this to us, even though they try to hide a lot of this from us. So this is an amazing day. We are living in an amazing day. I'm going to show you some of the things that's super, super cool about what's happening. Anyway, so if you notice, though, the little goat right here, and you can tell by the names of the stars what each one is. So the goat is being held by the shepherd. Of course, that Auriga is represented, is Christ also. The Auriga represents Christ as our good shepherd, and he's holding the little goat. And if you notice, the little goat is looking at Taurus like, that's kind of scary. And he's like, don't worry. Our Lord is telling us, do not worry when you see, be coming on a rampage to destroy the evildoers. I'm doing it because I love you. I'm doing it to protect humanity. And so it's a beautiful thing that all the heavenly constellations reveal Christ in a different way. You'll see over here, you'll see Aries, which is this lamb. Of course, this is our Lord Jesus, the lamb and the ram in the bush.
He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Now, not all the constellations represent him. I'm going to get off on a whole nother subject right now. But then the Cetus, the sea monster, is Satan, and you know, so each one has a different a different meaning. And like here, Orion is our great champion who destroys the prowling lion. So isn't it beautiful? It's a beautiful thing what the Lord gave to us. But the point I'm bringing you here for is because Taurus. As I said, our Lord Jesus as the rampaging bull to destroy the evildoers, and in his heart is a constellation of seven stars. They call it the Seven Sisters. There we go. You can see it a little closer up. Very, very cool. I hope you guys did your homework and you see what that's all about. So let's go ahead back and see if I can find my page again. And so let's go back to the next question. Here, you already answered. What was the answer to question number one?
Taurus.
Yes. And what's the question? What's the name of that smaller constellation?
Yeah, if I pronounce it correct, Pleiades.
That's right. That's it. I say it Pleiades. Pleiades. That's Pleiades. What I think it said. Yeah, Pleiades. That right there is what you just saw. Isn't that cool? Pleiades right there in the heart of Taurus the bull. And what I think is, okay, so it's also known as...
The seven sisters.
Thank you. So yeah, right there, and the Pleiades correlates actually to what? How does this major constellation? Okay, as I said before, the major constellation represents Christ coming on a rampage. Right? I already answered that one. And then number four, how does this smaller seven star constellation symbolize those who love the Lord?
They represent the seven original churches in Revelations that we already studied, chapter 2 and 3.
Yes, there you go. Remember way back when we did Revelation chapter 2 and 3, we talked about the seven, I remember this Philadelphia and, Thyatira and Sardis, and there was a certain blessing to each one of them and warnings to some of them. Anyway, so you notice this shape right here of the original churches is in the shape of Pleiades. Cannot make that up. That is super, super cool. So, and it also the seven churches in that it talks about in the book of Revelation. So he's pointing us to the seven sisters. And it's really, really cool how this is, the seven angels of that was talked about in the beginning, in Revelation 2 and 3, those seven angels are represented by each of the churches. So basically, we're working in concert with the angels, and that we are all working together to take humanity and to make it great again, and to make, to take the, it says the meek will inherit the earth. It says we will inherit the earth and rule the earth. All right, so number five, Miss Tammy?
Where is the smaller constellation located inside the larger constellation, and what does that tell us about how the Lord feels about his followers? Kind of talked about a little, but it's located in his heart.
Yes.
So that we are loved and protected.
Yes. Yes. And yes, and protected in his heart. So there's, don't worry. Not to worry. We are safe. And so, as Paul also told us, he says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. No matter what happens, even if we go to be with the Lord, we're still safe with him. He says not to fear those who can kill the body and afterward can't do anything else, but fear the Lord who can, after he kills, he can send into judgment. So, we're not afraid of death. We have no fear of death. We're not worried at all. If we pass on, it's just like walking through a curtain, onto another side, and we're there. And so, that's a beautiful thing that we don't have to worry. We don't have to fear death. Our sins are covered. Our sin, like this beautiful lamb, Aries, we know that our Lord Jesus's blood covers our sins. We stand pure and blameless in his sight. So we're not to worry about that, but it's a beautiful thing to be free from fear, isn't it? All right. So number six, do that one for me.
Okay. What song are the Patriots singing in Revelation 15, 3 to 4? How is it similar to the struggle the Israelites experienced when they were delivered from Egypt? I saw before me what seemed to be a glass sea mixed with fire, and on it stood all the people who had been victorious over the beast and his statue and the number representing his name. They were all holding harps that God had given them. And they were singing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God, the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear you, Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous deeds have been revealed.
Amen. Amen. Awesome. So what is this? It's a beautiful picture right there. What is this song that they are singing?
Oh, the song of Moses.
That song of Moses, and which is, great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear you, Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous deeds have been revealed. Isn't that beautiful? And that's the song, actually, maybe the song of the Lamb, but the song of Moses actually mm-hmm. is another song. Let me see if I can grab that one super quick. Any idea? Okay, that's going to be in Exodus somewhere. That's actually in the Bible. It talks about, and he's cast into the sea. Let me see if I can find that one for super quick. I should have pulled that up before we started, but where is the verse? It says, horse and rider. He is cast into the sea. Bear with me real quick. If I could type right, I've got my book in front of me, into the seer. Okay, Exodus 15. That's it, Exodus 15. Let's do that one. Pull that one up, NLT. This is the song after they had crossed the Red Sea. This is the psalm that that Miriam, Moses' sister, sang. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. He has hurled both horse and rider into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. Yahweh is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and army he has hurled into the sea. The finest of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters gushed over them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. How about that for a song, huh? You think that would make the top 10? So, you know, this is the song. You know, imagine they've been under this terrible, brutal tyranny for all those years, just like really we have. Actually, one of the things that I've been doing is I've been doing the, I did the book End Times. This is Biblical. This one right here. This is Biblical. If you haven't seen this one, check this one out. This is Biblical. And in that book, I go into the, you know, us, you know, being under the brutal tyranny that's, we're basically replaying this. The Old Testament Bible stories were really a roadmap for us that we would be under this tyranny and that the Lord would set us free with these plagues like he did with the children of Israel. And then they would cross, we would, just like they did, would cross the Red Sea into the promised land, and that the criminal cabal will be covered over by the Red Sea. They'll be crushed by the Red Sea. How awesome is that? This is the promise the Lord has for us. And this song is the song that's being sung right here in Revelation chapter 15 about singing this song. And it's really coincides with the song of the Lord, that he is the one. Let me go back to it. It's okay, that's not the one. This one right here, that he has triumphed gloriously. Marvelous are your works. It's so similar. Who will not fear you? Because the Lord is able to destroy these evildoers. Just like he did with the Egyptians, he destroyed them there. He's destroying them now. This is what we are, we're glorifying the Lord, that he can toss the horse and rider into the sea, that he can toss them out, and the New World Order is no match for the Lord. It's just, it's a kind of a frightening thing. You know, we see all these people panicking. They're really afraid, and who knows what kind of, you know, mayhem they might pull before this is completely over. But, and just like that little lamb was, you know, goat, whatever's all like freaking out, like, this is kind of scary. But the shepherd says, don't worry, right? So this is a beautiful thing. We're singing this song, not so different from our ancestors did when they crossed the Red Sea. So that's the song. They're singing the song of Moses, the servant of the, and then also this, which is also the song of the Lamb right here. All right. What is that struggle?
But what us, we are currently, the struggle we're going through is brutal, evil, tyrannical government that we're dealing with. that is oppressing and destroying us, censorship, media, fake news, everything. We're just overwhelmed.
We are under a very similar thing to what they were, our ancestors were, that they have taken and taken and taken from us. I just loved hearing this week how Lutnick was saying, the Secretary of Commerce was saying that people under 150,000 and under will not have to pay taxes. Did you hear that? Oh my goodness. Can you imagine, you guys? No income tax? Won't that just set the economy on fire, right? I don't know when that's going to be. What I'm hoping, I don't know if this is going to happen. I would just love it if, you know, by the time we get to April 15th, which is a month away, if he says, okay, you don't have to pay any taxes because we've thrown the horse and the rider into the sea. That would be a glorious Easter. And actually, President Trump said, get ready for a glorious Easter on his Lent letter. Did you guys see that? So we will see. We will see. We've been waiting, you know, and we saw this blood moon right here on Purim. And what did he do on Purim? President Trump went to the Department of Justice to speak. And he said to them, if November 15th will be a bigger day in history than the 4th of July, if you at the Justice Department do your job right, which everyone wants you to do. That's almost exactly verbatim what he said. You know, this is about throwing horse and rider into the sea, isn't it? And this is what the Lord is able to do. Who's not going to fear the Lord? The Lord is going to toss them out into the Red Sea. All right, so this is what we're under too, this terrible, brutal dictatorship. So why are they singing?
They know only the Lord can deliver them.
Yes. Amen. You know, we're fighting hard. We're fighting alongside him, but he alone, the Lord alone, is able to do this. Even though, humanly speaking, the cabal holds most of the positions of power, God's people know what from Revelation 15, 3 and 4.
Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. The Lord is just and true, and he is the King who will save us. Revelations.
Yes, amen. Just and true. Just and true. It sounds so much like what President Trump was just talking about. He said, we will have justice. And he did this right here. I mean, isn't that cool? That's the first time he's gone to the Justice Department. I don't even think in his first term, I don't know if he did or not, if he went to the Justice Department. I don't know. Maybe he did. Does anybody know? Anyway, so this is that was a big thing for him to do on that day. So on Purim, on the day we're about to mete out justice. Get ready. I'm ready for the horse and rider to be tossed into the sea. All right, number 8, Miss Tammy.
All the world will reveal the Lord. Well, the Lord is the Holy One. Everyone will worship him and know he has judged the wicked.
Amen.
The tabernacle of testimony will be opened. What is the tabernacle? I'm having a trouble here. Tabernacle of testimony, Ark of the Covenant, mercy seat. So for this... You mean to read the thing? For this next passage, remember how dangerous the Ark was in the Raiders of the Lost Ark movie. So continue. Then I looked and saw that the temple in heaven, God's tabernacle, was thrown wide open. The seven angels who were holding the seven plagues came out of the temple. They were clothed in spotless white linen with gold sashes across their chest. Then one of the four living beings handed each of the seven angels a gold bowl filled with the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. The temple was filled with smoke from God's glory and power. No one could enter the temple until the seven angels had completed pouring out the seven plagues.
Amen. Amen. All right, so now we're getting to it. So, you know, the bottom line is justice has been meted out at or on the Ark of the Covenant. So it's very important that we understand what is this Ark of the Covenant. This Ark of the Covenant, or the mercy seat, is what we plead the blood of Christ on. That is where we say we stand blameless and perfect because our sins have been forgiven. Our sins have been literally paid for. And we stand where we don't have any debt of sin. Right? Remember? This is what we stand on. You know, I'm not righteous in and of myself. Tammy's not as terrific as she is, as awesome as she is. She's not righteous in and of herself. None of us is. None of us is. And except our Lord Jesus, right? He is righteous in and of himself, and that's why his blood can pay for our sins. So everyone will revere the Lord. And it says here in this passage, he saw the temple in heaven. God's tabernacle was thrown open. Okay? And you'll see here, let me see if I can find it. Where does it say it in this passage? We're going to get into the where it's going to have the bowl. So let me see, where is it? Where's the actual passage where it says the tabernacle was? Okay, well, here we go. Right here. One could enter the temple until they had completed pouring out the seven plagues. All right, so I want to get into this thing about the Ark of the Covenant. Where's the verse? It says about the Ark of
Revelation 5 on the end of the...
God's tabernacle. Yeah, that one right there. Okay, that one right there. Yeah. Let me go to a different version because I think the words are a little clearer in another version. God's tabernacle is thrown open. So I'll show you super quick. You guys probably know this, how to do this on thebiblegateway.com. If you want to compare, you click right here on this little button where it says add parallel. And let's pull up, let's say, the King James or the New King James. Okay. So you scroll down to whichever version that you want to select. Aren't there a lot of versions, right? So let's see if that is, what'd you say, verse 5? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Here we go. The temple
after these.
Go ahead.
Five.
Well,
after these.
Hang on. And behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony. That's what it says right there. The temple of the tabernacle of the testimony.
And heaven was opened.
Yes, yes, that's the one. Okay. So what is that? What is that talking about? What that's talking about is this Ark of the Covenant, right there, and not to say that it's quote. In heaven, okay? It didn't fly up to heaven or do a little, you know, twinkle, twinkle, and poof, it went to heaven. It's talking about that this is the heavenly mercy seat. This is the mercy seat of God where he has established this. He had Moses build this ark. This was put into the tabernacle. This is where the priests would go once a year into the Holy of Holies, and they would sprinkle the blood onto one side of the Ark of the Covenant, and then they would know their sins were forgiven. Okay? This is very important. This is very important that we remember that this is a physical place on earth that the Lord has established for the blood to be paid for our sins, okay? So that's why he's saying in this passage,
You have a flashing light.
Duncan has a question. Can you explain Ash Wednesday and what ashes on the forehead? Okay, I think that is basically talking about that we recognize that we are sinners and that we are dust, that we have sin that has to be forgiven and that we are bound, duty bound to repent and turn back to the Lord, right? And so this is a physical representation of our recognition of who we are, that we have sin and we have to repent of that sin, okay? Is there anything you wanted to add to that, Miss Tammy?
No, not at all. Yeah. And it's prevalent in different groups, so you don't see all of us with the ashes on our,
right,
on our
right.
forehead.
And, right, and I think it's a, you know, a good recognition to recognize that we need to repent of sin. That is not who we primarily, the way we primarily think of ourselves as sinners. We primarily think of ourselves as a new creation. We think of ourselves primarily as forgiven and blameless because of the blood of Christ. And I think when we primarily think of ourselves as sinners and in the old man, then we live out that old man. And so it's really important that we recognize that we've been bought and that we have been, our sins have been forgiven and our sins have been paid for and we stand blameless in the Lord's sight so that we live out who we are in Christ. Okay. Therefore, you're a new creation in Christ. So anyway, thank you. All right. So of course, this is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ on this that we were talking about on this mercy seat. For years and years and years, hundreds and years, hundreds of years, the priest would put the blood onto this ark. And so that was their recognition that the sins had been paid for. Okay, and they would use the blood of bulls and goats to put onto the ark. But let's go now to here it talks about this God's tabernacle, this temple in heaven, the God's tabernacle was thrown wide open. In other words, there's complete access. If you remember when our Lord Jesus died on the cross, the Ark of the Covenant was then revealed that the curtain that hid the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies was ripped from top to bottom, and the Lord says, "It's open now. You are no longer, basically, your sins are forgiven. You no longer have to consider yourselves and think of yourselves as primarily sinners. Think of yourselves as a new creation that your sins are forgiven." So this was a beautiful thing, an amazing thing that the Lord did when our Lord Jesus died. This was a very thick, heavy curtain. This did not rip just accidentally. This was done by the finger of God, that this curtain was torn. And so this is what it's really talking about here in Revelation 15, verse 5. "I looked and saw the temple in heaven, God's tabernacle was thrown open." Forgiveness is open to everyone. The mercy of God is available to everyone. The blood of Christ is available to everyone. So let's go. Let's make sure to share the good news of Christ with everyone. All right, so, and it talks about these seven angels. Again, back to the seven, you know, each of the angels represented by one of the churches, and that we are working in concert with the Lord to mete out justice in the earth. That's what this is really about. That's what we are doing here on the Freedom Force Battalion. We are making sure that we expose this evil, as God's word says, that have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. That's what our job is to expose this evil. And for then, as one of the things that President Trump just said on Purim at the Department of Justice, he talked about this legendary exposure. This is what we are doing, and because we have laid this groundwork, then they are able to do this because the people are ready for justice. Praise the Lord. That's where we are. So this is a huge, huge thing. All right, so while we're here talking about this ark, let's go ahead and I'm going to show you a video that I did right here. I did this, I think, in 2018. This video right here, and if you have not seen it, I would really encourage you to see it, to watch it. Let me see if I can open it up super quick, and so you can, I'm going to pop the link into the chat for you guys, and I want you to go real quick and save this link, okay? And Songbird, please post this in the comments for us. I'm going to put in here Ark of the Covenant video, okay? There you go, right there, you got it. So grab that link, and I want you, if you haven't seen it, I want you to watch it. It's really important, and I cannot go into all the details about it today, but I will go ahead and tell you the wonderful news. This was actually a video that I did that I had not been keen on doing. I didn't even want to look into this information, but after this person begged me for the fourth time, I'm like, okay, I'll look into it. And it is the most amazing, wonderful information you will ever watch. Of all my videos, this is probably one of my absolute, it's definitely one of my favorites. It may be the favorite. The wonderful truth about the Ark of the Covenant, that it was found. The Ark of the Covenant has been found by this amazing man named Ron Wyatt. Ron Wyatt. It's not in heaven. It is still on earth. And so this is this man right here. And I'm going to put the name of this link right here, ronwyatt.com. I'm going to put this over in the chat also. So you guys want to go and look at some of his research. The man he's now gone to be with the Lord, but he's also found the Red Sea crossing. I've done videos about that. He's done videos. I don't know if I've done one on the Noah's Ark, but he found where Noah's Ark was. Anyway, so and he also found the Ark of the Covenant. Okay, and I can't really go into a lot of the detail about it right now. Okay, but I do want to show you. I do want to show you this. It doesn't look like what a lot of people have shown. A lot of people have said that it looks, that the Ark of the Covenant looks like this. But that's not what it really looks like. It looks like this picture right here. This one right here. And this is exactly delineated in the book of Leviticus, where the Lord told Moses exactly how to build this Ark of the Covenant and what he was supposed to do, exactly how to build the tabernacle and how they were supposed to become right with God, because they always had to remember that they had to have a blood sacrifice. Of course, anything that God has set up that is holy, the enemy uses and uses it for evil. They always hijack what is holy and turn it into something evil. But the Lord had set up way back from Adam and Eve that there had to be a blood sacrifice. Someone asked me this week, what happened? Why did Abel, why couldn't he just bring fruit like Cain did? It's because we recognize that we cannot bring our good works before the Lord. We must have someone pay for our sins. And Abel recognized that. Cain didn't want to think of that. He thought that he could come to God any way he wanted to, and that was not the case. And I'm not going to go into the whole story, but the bottom line is Abel recognized the need of a blood sacrifice. And so his sacrifice of the lamb was acceptable, and Cain's of fruit was not. So we don't come to the Lord guns blazing like, oh, we're here and you just have to accept us any way you want. No, the Lord says how to approach him. And he told, and this was expanded upon when Moses built the Ark of the Covenant and put it into the tabernacle. He says, this is the way that you approach the Lord, is we put blood. We recognize our need for a Savior. We need our need for someone to die for our sins, that sin deserves death and someone must die for sin. And so that's why they put the blood on the ark, and the Lord accepted that sacrifice for all those years until our Lord Jesus came and died on the cross. But there's a promise. There's I guess you call it a promise. In Daniel chapter 9, it says, these things are going to happen. It says that a period of 70 sets of seven, which I've done several videos on Daniel chapter 9. If you haven't watched those, definitely go and see those. But here it talks about that there's 70 sets of seven, which have been decreed for your people and your holy city to finish their rebellion, to put an end to their sins, to atone for their guilt, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to confirm the prophetic vision, and to anoint the most holy place. So what is this most holy place? This most holy is in the Holy of Holies, in the tabernacle, behind that curtain for all those years, and that tabernacle, that Ark of the Covenant, is there. That's the most holy. To anoint, just like they would do with the blood of the bulls and the goats, they would anoint the Ark of the Covenant with the blood of the sacrificial lamb or animal. All right, so he's saying that 70 sets of seven was decreed until all these things would get resolved. Okay, I'm not going to go into all the whole explanation of Daniel 9, chapter 9, but go and watch videos about that, because it's really, really, really important. Okay, so, but it says one of the things that would be completed is to anoint the most holy. Well, we know that our Lord Jesus' blood is the only blood that takes away sin. Hebrews talks very clearly that the blood of bulls and goats can never take away sin. It can't, blood, because you're not a bull, you're not a goat. That blood cannot take away your sin. You need, and I need, the sin, that the blood of a perfect man. And this is, of course, our Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus is the perfect man, who always did what was perfect in God's sight. You know, our Father in heaven even came and spoke from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You know, and the Lord Jesus even testified of himself. He says, I always do what pleases the Father. He is the Holy Lamb of God. Remember, John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So His blood is the blood to anoint the most holy place. Well, all those years, I would, yes, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Thanks, Marge Mosley. She said it before I did. She's already posted it. So I was like, how is this blood going to anoint the most holy place? How is our, even if someone wanted to go and get his blood, how would they get his blood and how are they going to take it and put it on the Ark of the Covenant? We don't even know where the Ark of the Covenant is. Where is it even? The Lord knows. The Lord knows. The long story, and I'm trying to make it short, is that our God knows the end from the beginning. What he ended up doing when Nebuchadnezzar came in and took over Jerusalem, he had Jeremiah go and take this ark and hide it in the catacombs underneath the temple. This video I was just telling you about goes into all the details of how they had created a lever system so that it would lower the Ark of the Covenant down because it's very heavy, and how would you get it underneath there? Well, they had it would be lowered underneath there and be able to be taken, carrying it with the poles. You have to carry it with the poles because if you touch it, I think Songbird was just saying this, that if you touch it, then you're going to die. You have to hold it with the poles because this is basically like heaven on earth. So, and our Lord Jesus is heaven on earth. But anyway, so when they took it and they hid it for all those years, it was hidden. But the Lord used this amazing man, Ron Wyatt, to find the ark. And he knew that the Lord had put it in his heart where to go and to look. And he went to Golgotha. He went to the place of the skull. He just knew in his heart. He says, it's got to be somewhere close. It hasn't been taken far. You can't get outside of when Nebuchadnezzar's got the entire city surrounded, they couldn't have taken it far. And he knew it had to be under there. And he felt in his heart that it was near where our Lord Jesus was crucified. And that is exactly where he found it. Let me show you what happened. Let me see if I can go back to find I had the picture. Where would I put? Did I put that? Okay, here it is. This, my friends, is what happened. Remember when our Lord Jesus died? When he died on the cross, there was a terrible earthquake. And remember when the Roman soldier put the spear into his side, it says water and blood poured forth. Remember, his heart literally burst from the agony of being under the wrath of God. The blood poured forth and went down into that crack right under where our Lord Jesus was crucified. And it went all the way down 20 feet, and right there at the very bottom was the Ark of the Covenant. The Lord knows the end from the beginning. He had this planned from the beginning that our Lord Jesus would come and be the sacrifice for our sins, and that his blood would anoint the most holy. Isn't that, it's absolutely amazing. I never tell the story where I just don't go, this is just, it just amazing. The Lord is amazing. He knows the end from the beginning. Don't worry. He has all of this all planned out, just as it says right here in Daniel chapter 9:24. This period has been decreed for all these things to happen, to wrap up all these things and to anoint the most holy. And so our Lord Jesus's blood is on the Ark of the Covenant. Ron Wyatt took a sample of that blood and he took it and had it tested. And they said it only has one male chromosome because his father was the eternal God. It's amazing. They had never seen blood like that. And they said that blood was alive. This blood is alive. This blood is what washes sin away from humanity. It's alive to forevermore. You cannot kill his blood, right? And that's why he rose again. He is alive forevermore. Isn't that amazing? It does. It takes my breath away too, D. Reese. It does. So amazing. Love it. So I really appreciate it. So definitely check into this video if you want to know more about it. I go into a lot more detail about it than I'm telling you right here. But there's you've got the link on that. And you can also look at the videos on the Wyatt Family website, ronwyatt.com. Amazing, amazing. So, so wonderful what the Lord did. And so now back to our story of in Revelation 15, this beautiful Ark of the Covenant on which our Lord Jesus' blood is open for all humanity, for everyone, everyone's. And he is, as we've talked about before, he even died for the ignorant. The Lord looks at the heart. He's looking to see if our heart is connected to him. And we have a lot of difference of opinion with a lot of different religions, a lot of different groups, but the Lord is looking at the heart. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's looking for that repentant heart, like putting the ashes on the forehead, someone really wanting to, repent of their sins and walk with the Lord. All right. So now it talks about these four living beings are given these seven bowls. Each one was given a gold bowl filled with the wrath of God. What is this wrath of God from? It's in response to our prayers for each of those seven churches, symbolically, that we are all praying, Lord, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from these tyrants. Cast them into the sea, as it was talking about earlier in this chapter. Lord, deliver us because of the blood of Jesus. He is rescuing humanity. He rescued us, and I just thought about this week. Each of the festivals in the spring is the Hebrew festivals is talking about our deliverance. We right now when we're celebrating Purim, this is a celebration from our enemies, from those who are trying to destroy us. Literally, had just tried to destroy us. Then you look at the Feast of First Fruits. This festival is reminding us of our deliverance from which one was that one? From just the power of evil in our lives, that we are rising because of the Spirit of God that dwells within us. That one gives us the power to rise. And then when our Lord Jesus died on the cross, this is the power of our penalty of sin. The penalty of sin to cast us into hell, that we're delivered from the power of Satan and death. All these things we're celebrating in the springtime during these festivals. So it's right here you see that we are now, because of the Spirit of God dwelling within us, we are joining in concert with the Lord to cast out these demons. Not only are we not working with the demons, we're working with the Lord to destroy the demons, to remove them from the earth, and that we fill these bowls with our prayers to destroy, to remove these demons. All right, so this is what's happening. It's these seven plagues. It's coming up. Okay, so what was the question? Did we answer that question? I'm sure we did.
I think so. You brought them all together there, I think up to about 11, maybe.
Okay.
Through the golden bowls of God's wrath, it's intended for the Antichrist, the New World Order, the Cabal.
Okay, all right. Okay, so if you remember, though, that Ark of the Covenant, before we go on, that Ark of the Covenant, did you just see the movie Ark, the Raiders of the Lost Ark? Did y'all see that movie? I'm sure everybody did. And how when they opened that Ark and that guy touched it, he just melted, right? And it was just like, it was a Hollywood representation of how dangerous this Ark is. And there are stories in the Bible where if someone touched it, then they would die. So this is, like, okay, you must want to go to heaven because you touched it, so now you're in heaven, Anyway, so this is what we're talking about. This is an amazing Ark of the Covenant, the Most Holy. Okay, so as we said, what does the Ark being open indicate? Forgiveness and salvation have been available to everyone who repents, but the cabal refused to stop worshiping demons. And then number 10, seven angels were coming out of the temple who gave the seven bowls of God's wrath to the angels in Revelation 15, 7 through 8. Who gave them?
The four living beings.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so we'll get to the four living beings in just a second. And who are those bowls intended for?
The beast, Antichrist, New World Order, Satanic Cabal.
Yes, right. This is who is going to be destroyed. Many of the teachings of end times makes people think that God is coming to indiscriminately destroy humanity, and that is not the case. That is not the truth. We are working in concert with the Lord to destroy the satanic criminal cabal. This is what is happening. So the Lord, we gave these bowls of God's wrath to the angels, is basically what it is. We are the church collective. As we pray and these bowls are filled up, they say, okay, we are working in response to what humanity wants. We're not going to force things on humanity, but humanity has to want to be set free. Humanity has to want to be, just like when the people of Egypt, the Israelites in Egypt, prayed for the Lord to rescue them from the brutal tyrants. They have to be ready. Humanity has to be ready to be set free. All right, number 12.
Who do the four living beings in Revelation 15:7 represent? Reminder, the four living beings were also depicted in Revelation 4:6-9, 5:6-14, and 6:1-8. This is a diagram. I don't know if you want to
I'll show it. Yes, that's a good idea. Yes, go ahead.
This is a diagram of the Israelites' encampment in the wilderness for 40 years. The four sides of the encampment, north, south, east, and west, are depicted by the four living beings, a lion, a man, an ox, and an eagle, each of which symbolizes the four major tribes of Israel, which represents all the people who love God all over the world.
Yes. Awesome. Thank you so much, Jamie, that's a good idea for everyone to see this. This is the encampment right here. What you guys are seeing on the side, this is a depiction of how they were encamped in the wilderness after they crossed the Red Sea. They had a camp, and so that you would be able to find, it's a lot of people. What was it? 2 million people or some crazy number. How do you find your group? And so then it was very organized. It wasn't haphazard. You're with your tribe, and you always knew where your tribe would be encamped and would be camped. And so that's the four faces. I never realized that. I'm like, what is this beast? You know, it's not another created animal. It's God's people all surrounding this tabernacle, which is where the Ark of the Covenant was, right inside in the middle in this tabernacle. The Ark of the Covenant was there. And this is where the Lord's presence dwelled, right there. And you would see the pillar of cloud in the day and the pillar of fire at night. So you can't see this very well. Let me make it maybe a little bit bigger. So if you notice here, there's the face of a man for Reuben. There's the face of a lion for Judah. There's an eagle for Dan. And there's an ox for Ephraim. Okay, so remember the four living beings that have the different faces. All right, so this is what it's representative. Again, with the symbolism in the book of Revelation and all throughout prophetical teaching.
We have talked before about thinking they probably were a little bit more in a circle.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. Still north, south, east, and west. So you could find So each of these tribes here were the three tribes that were like headed up by Reuben. These three tribes were headed up by Judah, you know, had like a one representative, right, for each side, north, south, east, and west. But yeah, I think it was more in a circle, much like the standing stones that we've seen throughout England, Scotland, and Ireland, which I got to go see. I think I showed you guys some of that. All right, so yeah, so this is the word, the promise was the it said here that the four living beings were given the bowls, they gave the bowls to the angels. I said that wrong. All right, so, and if you want to go back and see more about this, I go into more detail in some of the other videos from Revelation 4, Revelation 5, and Revelation 6. It talks about these four living beings. And so you always remember that depicts God's people, all of God's people, all those who love him. And so it's, you know, let's try not to think of it as a certain ethnic group or as a certain, even religious group. Think of it as those whose hearts are connected to the Lord. Those people who have truly repented of sin. That's what the Lord is looking for, right? That's what he's looking at, the heart. Okay, so 13.
What is the significance of the four living beings having bowls of God's wrath?
Yes.
So,
I think I said that.
Yeah, God's people praying for judgment to fall on the wicked.
Yes.
and to be rescued.
Yes.
We believe their prayers are being answered.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. This is not something that God is forcing on humanity, as I was saying. This is something that we are praying for, that we are working for and striving for, and that we are struggling for, as it talks about in Numb. And it's the beautiful sign of the of the Son of Man. I don't know if I've where I've put that exactly. I think it's still on that main first page. Let me see if it still is, because we've done so many changes. If you scroll, yeah, there it is. It's right there. Yay. So this is the sign of the Son of Man, that we are birthing this kingdom on earth, because this is, you know, we're working in concert with the Lord. All right. So now I had something else to show you guys. Okay. Something about, oh, I know what it is. Okay. Let's do 14 and then I'll show you that one last thing. Okay, go ahead.
What does it signify that the temple was filled with smoke from God's glory and power? So let's take an opportunity to praise him for his awesome power he's used to rescue, he is using to rescue humanity.
Yes.
So,
yes
it's that he is holy. All the world is going to worship the King
Amen.
Of the world, and he deserves all the praise and glory.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. If it wasn't for him, we would have been, all this that we've been going through, it would just get worse and worse. Just imagine the entire world, like Venezuela, what Venezuela's been through. The entire world, like what the Uyghurs have been through. The entire world, through what, what the North Koreans were under when the CIA ran it. Just the absolute, evil. Think of the whole world as Epstein Island. This is what the enemy wanted. But because of our Lord Jesus, that is not our fate. That is not our fate. Excuse me. The righteous will inherit the kingdom. The meek will inherit the earth. All right. So the thing I was going to show you is, this is what I'm thinking. Okay. So remember, let me go back to the very beginning of this chapter where it talks about, I saw heaven with another in heaven, another marvelous event of great significance. Seven angels were holding the seven last plagues, which would bring about God's wrath to completion. And we have identified that that is Taurus. Those seven angels, the seven sisters, Pleiades, is in the heart of Taurus. All right. So this is to bring it to completion, because let's just be honest. We're all like, when is this going to get over? We fight every day. We're like, come on, and it's so hard to be patient. And I know I'm, I come across real patient, but sometimes it's like, come on, and then my mom's the worst. Okay. Cause she's always like, okay, when I'm going to go on this trip and can everything be done by the time I get back? I'm like, tell the Lord. I'm like, I'm working as hard as I can to do it. But bottom line, we all have to surrender our will to the Lord's will and his perfect timing. And I've tell people all the time, if you can do a better job, go ahead. Right? I think that we need to just all recognize that the Lord is the one who's able to do this. And he knows the way to do this. And it's all in his perfect timing. Right? So, we're not going to complain. We're going to quiet ourselves like a weaned child, as it says in the Psalms. And we're going to just trust the plan. We're going to trust the Lord. And I know that we're like, we also at the same time, at the end of Revelation, it says, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come quickly to wrap this up, because these people are so evil. All right. So we know that it's though with the, it says this marvelous event of great significance is happening in the heavens with these seven angels pouring out the seven last plagues. So it would make sense to us if this was happening right when you see this sign of the Christ star going on a rampage through Taurus. Remember, I've shown you guys this before. Let me go ahead and I'll pull it up real quick. When you look back at Jupiter, which is the Christ star. I'm going to go over here on the left side. I'm going to hit search. I'm going to hit the search window for Jupiter. And I'm going to actually go to this little button right here that shows you how to set the sky options, SSO, to show trails. Okay? And I'm going to just move forward and you will see this amazing zigzag loop that started back in April of 2024. You see how it's moving right through. It's moving right through Taurus. And Jupiter, the Christ star, goes almost completely to the horn, Elnath, of Taurus. And it's like it's doing a zigzag with that horn. And it reminds me of that, the Zorro Z. You know, how do you destroy is with a Zorro Z. Uh-oh, did I move over? All right, so you see Jupiter, the Christ star, turned around. And now it's doing this, it's working on completing its zigzag loop or its sine wave. This is not a circle this time, it's a zigzag loop. And you'll see it's coming back down. This is January 2025, right when President Trump was inaugurated. It does another turn. Here we are in February. It's turned and made another, completing its zigzag. And here we are, this is right about now is where we are. And so I wonder if this is the event of great significance that is talked about in Revelation chapter 15. I wonder if that is because another reason is because if you look at the end of the book, there's a chapter called It's called Addendum. Chapter 26 is the addendum, and I go into how to use Stellarium, step by step, so that you can use Stellarium yourself. You don't have to just do it, listen to my videos and watch my videos. You can do it for yourself. Download the online planetarium and how you can actually look at these things for yourself. And if you look at the end, you'll see all these seven bowls. These seven bowls. And I go into this in detail right here. Let me see if it's, okay, here we go. This is on page 199 in your book, okay? And you'll see that, first of all, as we know, the sign of the Son of Man appeared. And then you had the first bowl, I believe, and we're going to talk about this more next week, but the first bowl was in Libra, which is saying it's a sign of judgment. This is Judgment Day. And so then the second bowl was in the knee of Ophiuchus, that we're wrestling these evildoers to destroy them. And then the third bowl was where the Christ star did a zigzag in Sagittarius, which we're shooting the arrows to destroy these evildoers. And then the fourth bowl was where the Christ star did a loop in Aquarius, which is like this great awakening. This is, I think, around in 2020, which is around the time of of COVID, which was a big awakening moment for a lot of people. And then you've got the fifth bowl doing a loop in Pisces. Actually, two of them do in Pisces. Pisces, is a very large constellation, and it kind of goes into Aries. But think of the fish as those who believe in God, just as disciples were told to be the fishers of men. So this is about us being broken free from Cetus, the sea monster I was showing you earlier, right? Let me go back and show you that super quick while we're here, while we're near in the neighborhood. So this is the fish are attached to the sea monster, Cetus, the sea monster. And so it was, this loop was around that to talk about how we're breaking free from the sea monster. And then the sixth bowl was talking about the redemption of humanity right there under Aries, the Lamb of God, as Christ represents the Lamb of God who redeems the world. But then the seventh is right here. That's what's happening right now. This seventh angel that is pouring out his bowl. This is Christ is like this seventh. Basically, Jupiter is the Christ star, which is the messenger angel doing this sign in the heavens, the seventh one since the sign of the Son of Man, okay? So it's doing this zigzag loop right there in Taurus. And again, we know that Taurus represents Christ coming on a rampage to destroy the New World Order. So what do you guys think? What do you guys think? I think that this is very, very likely what it's talking about right here in Revelation chapter 15, I saw in heaven another marvelous event of great significance. Seven angels were holding the seven last plagues, which would bring around God's wrath to completion. Now, we're going to talk next week about what's in each of those bowls, but right now, I wanted to use this chapter just to show you. This is, you know, when I first started, I thought it was going to be four bowls. I'm like, I couldn't bear to think it was going to be seven, 7 years, but seven is a complete number, right? So biblically, it sounds like seven, and I'm thinking that this is it. I'm hoping and praying because also, if you remember, our President Trump said on the Day of Atonement, he announced Jubilee. He announced Jubilee because those 7 years have been completed. He said, and I believe this is the Lord was speaking through him when he said, 2024 is our final battle. And that the Jubilee or the Golden Age has started. Now you're like, okay, well, why is my bank account not full right now? Because we are, it's getting brighter and brighter. We're now, patriots are in control. Right? President Trump is in control, and we are going to toss the rascals out and have them covered over by the Red Sea. Anyway, so that's what I believe is happening biblically. So check that out in your book, because that really does coincide with what we're witnessing. All right? I think that's the event of great significance. I believe that's this seventh bowl, and it's happening in Taurus. Right now, the zigzag, if you notice, it has not quite yet completed, right? Uh-oh, it's, okay, where'd it go? Okay, there it is. It hasn't quite yet completed. I guess, let me finish it up and let's just see. When would it maybe complete? You might say it would complete, let's say, in April. Which would be right, it would be very, very cool. Very, very cool if, again, that's right around tax time. He says, okay, we've destroyed the criminal cabal and you no longer have to worry about paying taxes. I don't know if that's going to happen. I'm just saying I want it to happen. But either way, I'm just going to quiet myself as a weaned child and I'm going to trust the Lord and his timing and his plan. But it would match the heavenly signs. Mm-hmm. So we will see. We will see. I just trust the plan on exactly how it's going to happen. All right. I think that's everything. We're going to pray and then we're going to jet. And then don't forget, okay, next week we'll go into more detail about the bowls. Did you have something else to add, Miss Tammy?
I do not.
Okay. I thought you were going to say something.
Oh, no. I was.
Okay. Well, we'll be on the chat for just a little bit in case you guys have thoughts or questions. I don't see any more spinning lights over there of questions to answer. Okay, but yeah, that's just a beautiful thing that the Lord put in the heavens for us. This is no doubt a sign, the signs in the heavens. And I don't really think that this is the blood moon, but I do believe the blood moon was a sign for us happening on Purim. That is a huge sign for us. But I think the one it's talking about right here in Revelation 15 is this seventh zigzag or loop of the Christ star, Jupiter. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you have revealed these things to us. Thank you, Lord, that you speak to our hearts and open your word to us. And you've helped us to piece these things together. And that you've just helped us to be a part of what you're doing. We just praise you. We thank you. We thank you for Ron Wyatt and his amazing life and how he was, that you spoke to his heart and directed him straight to your Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that your blood is the payment for our sins. Thank you, Lord, that we stand holy and blameless because of your blood, Lord Jesus. And that you have set us free from all of our enemies. And we're going to see the complete destruction of our enemies, whether it's the tyrants who have tried to destroy us or our the power of sin in our lives or the penalty of sin in hell. You've delivered us from all that because of your blood. We praise you that you are just and true, you are just and holy in all your ways, and that you are delivering us because of your great love. Thank you that we're right in your heart, just like it says, it shows us in Pleiades in the heart of the bull, that you are coming to destroy the evildoers and that we are safe. Lord, we're not worried one little bit. You are a great shepherd. You're our great champion. You are our redeemer. We praise you and we thank you. We love you. And just thank you for everyone on the battalion. Again, we just pray you just continue to bless them, strengthen them, help them in every way, protect them, Lord, and use them in a mighty way to bring in your kingdom. So your kingdom will come and your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. We praise you and love you. And we pray this all in your great name, King Jesus. Amen. All right, guys, I love you. I've noticed a lot of people are talking about King Jesus. I love that that's been the theme. Hasn't that been awesome? I love it. I love it, love it. So definitely, if you have a minute, if you want to go today to this page right here where I talk about all these ways that you can get your health back, if anyone is sick, if you are having any health maladies at all, or if you just want to make sure that you have your body is healthy and strong and you can fight off anything, go here, check out the silver, check out the methylene blue that RFK, of course, he's extremely healthy and he's doing methylene blue every day. I really encourage you to do that. I'm doing it every day. Yes, it makes some things green, but that's okay. We're making ourselves healthy. And also cleanse your water, detox every day. They're spraying like crazy. The moon was orange last night. That was not the blood moon. That was poison that they're putting in the air. You've got to detox. Make sure that everything in you put in your body is organic. I just pray blessings over everything you put in your mouth. It's not just a prayer over before we eat. It's a prayer that God would guide us to help how we can have healthy bodies. All right. So definitely check into that. I guess that's it. We're going to have to go now, but we'll be on the chat for just a little bit, okay? And don't forget to study for next week, and I will talk to you later.